Cook, joined by Danny Bonaducci, man.
Always a pleasure.
Every single day at 2 o'clock, 2 to 3 p.m. every day. You can listen to Danny Bonaducci, 2 to 3 p.m. every single day.
That's a tough job.
Yeah.
But somebody's got to do it.
And you're going to soon be doing a, you got another gig coming up, right?
Maybe. There's rumors flying everywhere.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm not leaving this station without being dragged out of the building.
Yeah.
That's not beyond comprehension. Right. I've been dragged out of radio stations before.
This is a fun station to work for.
Got it.
You know, it really is. I mean, everybody here sort of leaves you alone, and there's not a lot of pain in the asses, you know. All right, Danny Bonaducci has two kids.
Yeah.
And I was talking to one of the ad executives here. I won't mention her name, but she has two. And one of the reasons why I don't have two or three or four is because I can't tolerate the fighting
right.
that goes on with these kids.
No, because there is no logic to it. If
right.
there was a clear winner and a loser of an argument, and both of them were of age to understand, no, you're wrong on this one, your sister's right, then that life would be a dream.
Right.
But this is, you're ugly, no, you're ugly, and then the weapons come out. And it's just a nightmare of screaming, and he did this, and then they break your stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
And plus, I don't know where everybody went wrong on this thing, but I think my daughter's words, and I have said this before, and I semi-stand by it, not as literally, but as pretty close. Her first words were, Daddy, and her second words were, I'll call 911.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you look at your kid the wrong way, they'll call the cops. They teach them that in school.
Right.
It's like a spanking. Haven't you read the news? I mean, we both do talk radio, so we have to read every little ridiculous news story from around the world.
Right.
How many times have you heard a woman spanked her kid at the grocery store and was met by child services at the grocery line?
Absolutely.
You can't even give your kid a little wallop on the butt for misbehaving?
I know, but you know what? I think you sort of have to nowadays. And I have a three-year-old, and I hate to keep quoting him, but Chris Rock said, those aren't your kids unless you've hit them.
Right, absolutely. You know? I could not agree more. But I've replaced physical violence against children, because my dad was a very violent man, and I've never, ever raised my hands to a girl or a child. But I have on more than one occasion, and what I do is end up punishing myself. Isabella will say, I don't have to, and you can't make me. And she'll fold her arms and call my bluff. And she's right. I can't make her. You know what I mean? You just can't. So then I go, okay, you got to watch this magic trick Daddy can do. Her bedroom's on the third floor. I just opened up the window and started with the TV and ended with the computer. Out they went. And I said, I can do this every day. That I can do. Let's see your computer. Let's see your Game Boy call 911
on
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Call the cops and say, Daddy broke my Game Boy. See how fast they come running.
I remember this distinctively. My mother was one that loves to bang you around if you're misbehaving.
Right.
You know, really haul off on you. And we were in Gemco. You remember Gemco?
Yeah, sure.
Growing up, the one in Woodland Hills,
yeah.
Where I think it's Target now. I used to be up there near Charlie Brown's restaurant up there.
Yeah. That's my old neighborhood, man.
Yeah, I love that neighborhood. It's right off Ventura near Canoga. And I remember being in Gemco, doing some Christmas shopping there, and a guy was had a daughter who was out of control, and he was slapping her in the ass. And my mom said, and I said, Mom, I said, look what's happening. That kid's getting hit. Aren't you going to do anything? And she goes, absolutely. She runs over and starts yelling at the girl while the dad's hitting her.
No.
Yeah, it's like piling on. You know, you'd think you'd go over and try to separate him. My mom went over and there like, piled on this girl.
I separated a guy from physically assaulting his girlfriend at a public place, and she turned on me. How dare you hit my boyfriend?
Yeah.
It's like, I am out of domestic disputes unless they're my own.
Yeah, we had my wife and I saw a very big guy. Looks like he had played football. Abusing his girlfriend or his wife at a bus stop off of Reseda in Oxnard. And I called 911. I said, this guy is grabbing her. He's going to, and he says, I'm going to kill you. He's going to punch her in the face. So we called LAPD. 45 minutes later, they show up, and they had just taken the next bus and moved on.
But did they get on the bus together?
Yeah, they got on the bus together.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Man. Once you cross a certain line, there should be no coming back. As a matter of fact, they should start penalizing a victim. If a guy hits you once,
right,
shame on him, and he should go to prison.
Right.
If he hits you twice, but he just has just the right words, and eventually you forgive him, maybe. But you stick around for the third smack. you should start spending some time in jail yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
You should. There's no reason. There's no reason. Yeah. Well, he loves me. It's just underneath. He's a nice guy, and he's so passionate. And, you know, they'll blame your nationality, no matter what your nationality.
Right,
with my dad, when he was beating his kids, was, well, you know, your father's Italian. Really? That means he just sucks at fighting wars. Isn't that what that means? What does that mean about beating kids? Well, you know, your father, he's Greek. What the hell does that mean? He's beating on me.
All right, folks. It's a pretty interesting area because a lot of people. There's a lot of kids here tonight. Most of them are very well behaved.
I say beat them.
Yeah, but if you have children, and you don't, you know, punch them in the face or beat them, how do you stop these two kids or three kids from fighting? I don't have the answer. And I've babysat kids before. We've had, you know, cousins and stuff like that where the two kids started fighting. You separate them. And together, they're stronger than you are, and they keep grabbing each other, and it's almost impossible to get kids to stop fighting, brothers and sisters. Or like Randy Wang, who is our producer and board op. Let's put Randy's mic on here. I'm sure you went toe-to-toe and went nuts on your brothers. Do you still do it?
Yes.
You still fight? Physically fight?
Physically fight. When I was 20 years old, so 3 years ago, my brother kicked me in the leg and dislocated my knee.
Jesus Christ.
But it was okay because when he was 4 years old, I pushed him off the swing and he broke his two front teeth.
Oh, excellent. All right, so you got him back.
But we fought all the time growing up. Even me and my little brother, who's 10 years younger than me, I get into it with him, too.
And you physically fight now at this stage of the game?
Yeah.
At this age.
We'll get into it.
Okay.
Wow.
At your size, you could do some real damage, and if he can put up a fight, I have to assume he could do some real damage.
What we used to do...
Is there a limit? Is there, like, a rule? Like, if I'm going to fight someone, there are no rules. The words fair and fight do not belong in the same sentence.
The rule of thumb is, once someone starts crying, it's over.
So, in a family fight, somebody's allowed to give.
Yeah, what we would do is that when we were growing up later on, we had this giant trampoline in our backyard. And me and my brother would go in there without any boxing gloves, just punch each other out on the trampoline and see who would, you know, out first.
Well,
it
is the holiday season coming up. It's always a little more tense than the rest of the year. You got, you know, Halloween coming up, but you got Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and whatever you're celebrating. But maybe we can learn a little something from the audience. If you got kids out there, and I know Danny's got kids, I've got a daughter, how do you get these kids to stop fighting? Because it's one of the reasons I don't have a second kid, and until I get the magic potion or the knowledge on how to get these kids to stop fighting, I'm not going to have another one. But do you hit them? Do you separate them? Do you take one to Nebraska and give them to a police station or a fire station? How do you do it? Here are the phone numbers. 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, I don't know if you heard this story, and I'm sure you have because you read almost everything, but a woman in Michigan drives her 13-year-old son to Nebraska so she can turn him into a
fire station right.
And drive back to Michigan.
I got an actual heated argument with my girlfriend over this story.
Now, you know, before I had kids, I would say that woman needs to be put to death for doing that. After you have kids, your first instinct is, what did that kid do?
Yep. And the thing is, and this is why I got in the heated discussion, my girlfriend is a school teacher.
Right.
Right? And she teaches 10th grade math. So I figure if she can handle 30 adolescents at a time, she's almost prepared for me.
Right.
But when my two kids come over and start going at it, there is just no way to stop it. And I said to her, because, you know, I'm looking at the future, and I was a bad kid and hung around with worse kids. And there, when you get to be about 15 years old,
right,
you're the full size of a man. Like, I don't know how old that kid is right there, but that's a full-grown man, whether he's 15 or whether he's 20.
Yeah.
How
old are you?
21. Oh. But, I mean, you could be that big and that size and be an adolescent, no problem.
Easily.
Now, imagine he's got a single mom and he turns on her physically.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, go to your room, and he says, no.
Right.
And she says, you go right now, and he gives you a smack in the head, and that happens three times.
Right.
That woman's now in peril in her own home.
Right.
I'd say take this kid to Michigan, drop his ass off at the fire station, say teach him some manners and bring him back. Not you personally, kid. You're fine.
Now, I don't know what the response is from parents because my daughter's not old enough to do this. But when they threaten to call 911, a friend of mine has a daughter in the Valley, and he said, go to your room, do your homework. And she said no. And he said, I'm not going to tell you twice. The second time, I'm going to drag you into your room. Go do it now. She said no, and he physically dragged her by her jacket and threw her under a bed and said, you're not leaving here until you do your homework. And she said, she reached for the phone. She said, I'm calling 911. And he says, I'll do it for you. because they're going to take about 5 to 6 minutes to get over here, and by then, I could actually kill you. You think I'm afraid of these cops?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
My
straightened up.
My ex-wife does that. My ex-wife, whenever one of the kids, and they've stopped doing this now, you know, they're getting older and realize you can't just call emergency services because you're grounded. But when my daughters started doing that, I'll call child services, I'll call 911, my wife would hand her the phone. Say, dial. Go ahead and call the emergency police department. They're going to say, what is the nature of your emergency? Can you tell I've been through this phone call? What is the nature of your emergency? And a little kid's going to say, I've just been given a timeout. The cop, who's probably a parent, is going to ask, give her a little bit of a lecture as to what you did wrong and listen to your mommy and hang up. So you should, in essence, unless you happen to have other illegal substances in your house, let the kid call 911.
Right, yeah.
You know, get that out of the way right away. You don't want that threat hanging over your head.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have friends who were hit as kids, and I have friends who are not, who were never abused. And without exception, the ones that were physically abused when they were kids have all turned out to be very respectable people towards one another. They really respect, other people. I don't know if that they beat that into them, but they're always very well mannered. These kids who got their ass kicked when they were younger.
I have a theory. I don't know if it's true, but my theory is if you've been beaten on a regular basis, and in my situation it was the drop of a hat. Somebody asked me what was the feeling in your house growing up, and without hesitation I said fear.
Right.
I said you were scared all the time in my house growing up. Everybody was afraid all the time. And I think what happens is that it gets ingrained to your system what a horrible feeling it is to instill fear in others.
Right.
And I think, I know that I personally, I go to the point where my manners almost are over the top.
Yeah,
they're almost ridiculous.
Thing.
I am so well-mannered. I mean, I talk a tough game on the radio because that's my real life and this is who I am. But at a table full of people who have heard about me and know about me and think that my reputation that precedes me is true, I go so far out of my way to be polite to get rid of any perception that danger lurks anywhere.
Because
you're used to danger lurking and what a horrible feeling it is, and you don't want to do that to anybody else. That's my theory on it.
You're absolutely right. To a less extent, I grew up the same way when my dad wasn't around. When my dad was around, it was great. It was like heaven. But when my mother was around and my dad was out of town, you know, working or, you know, for a long period of time, a month or so, then it was fear 24 hours a day. You know, because my mother would come home at night after playing bridge and probably losing and wake us up at 2 a.m. because we left the big wheel or the balls in the yard or whatever.
Right.
And she'd get us up in our underwear out to the yard to clean it up. And in the valley, in December, it can get down to the 30s. And we're sitting there walking around the grass, you know, in our underwear. It's 30 degrees out. We're like, how did we get here? You know, what is this all about?
I think that may be a female instinct because I know my girlfriend, if she finds out I left my balls somewhere I wasn't supposed to, she gets really mad.
All right. Let's talk to, Mikey in Glendale on line 5 here. How do you get these kids to stop fighting there, Mikey?
Hey, what's up? Put them in a fiery death pit and say, fight for my love. Put some glue on their gloves with some tape, bare knuckle boxing with some broken glass. That's how you do it in my household.
You're lucky your number comes up unknown, dude. There's somebody be calling on you right now.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, thanks, Mikey. But yeah, a lot of guys are, growing up still in those households where, you know, dad is, you know, I also have a theory that if your mom is crazy, you grow up and you're very creative. But if your dad is crazy and you're a girl, you grow up and you end up in jail.
Huh.
And
then how do you explain me, bro?
No, it's different from well, actually, you've been to jail, right?
Yeah, I've never actually been to, what I've gotten is bailed out on several occasions and hired really good lawyers.
Oh, I see,
I'd have so much money today if it weren't for lawyers.
Is that right?
Of course, I'd be spending it in prison. But, yeah, I'd be doing a lot better off if it weren't for lawyers.
All right, let's talk to Scott in Newport Beach on line 8. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
As it comes to doing live spots at Knoxbury Farm now?
That is what it has come to, Scott.
What is this? Why? Where's Arsenio? What's going on?
Scott, my friend, do you have a point?
Yeah, I want to you know, you didn't smack around a little bit. And I remember one time I tried to get smart on my old man. And my old man put me right up against the garage door and said, look, you're going to mow the friggin' yard, right? So, I mean, at some point you do. I mean, you got to get cross lines. So she brings the kid to the Nebraska Fire Department. She said, hey, look, he's yours. I can't deal with him. First question that gets raised is, what's wrong with the kid? Well, what's also wrong with the parenting, right?
You know, not necessarily.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I have a friend who's an actor. He's not a friend, but I mean, he's an acquaintance. He's an actor. His older brother is a rabbi. His younger brother is on death row for killing two guys in a liquor store holdup in New Jersey.
Right.
All three raised by the same parents.
Yeah. I'm not nearly as drastic, but my ex-wife is a fundamentalist Christian.
Scott, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Scott. Her other brother is a bit of a hermit and a nuclear physicist, and her third brother is in Iraq, and he's been shot three times and keeps going back on purpose.
Are you kidding
All me? Brought up by the same two people that the father's a deacon of the church and the mother's a Sunday school teacher.
Wow.
I figure it's going to turn out, it's just a roll of the dice anyway. You can be as polite and do their homework and tuck them in and tell them a story every single night, and they're going to either end up Dahmer or they're not. You know, it's just, I mean, weren't his parents...
crapshoot.
His parents were both psychologists or something, and he ended up eating folks. So I think eventually your menu changes no matter how you're raised.
Yeah. And I think of the three people, you know, the death row, the rabbi, and the actor, I think they're most embarrassed by the actor.
Yeah, I would be too.
All right, how do you get these kids to stop fighting? You know, there are a lot of parents out there who have young kids. They could use, you know, your experience and mine and Danny's as well. But how do you get these kids to stop fighting, man? Because you can't hit them anymore.
Nope.
'Cause they call 911 or they lawyer up.
Yeah.
And you can't just sit there and let them torment you either, because that'll, you know, you'll get a heart attack from that. All right, here are the phone numbers. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. A final here. The Dodgers lost to the Phillies 5-1. So the Dodgers are, the season ends today for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
But the Phillies are still in it?
Phillies keep going. They'll go to the World Series and play either Boston or Tampa Bay. So it was a great season for the Dodgers. Came up a little short. All right, Danny Bonaducci is with us. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Bonaducci's with us.
Yes!
Danny!
All right, Danny has a couple of kids. How often they fight, by the way? Every day?
Constantly. It's a constant battle.
You know, I don't know how my dad did it and my mom did it, because we had six... my mom had six kids in 8 years.
Wow.
You imagine that? So she was pregnant for...
No wonder he was able to do that old man character on the Tim. That's all he had left.
Right.
That's all the motion he had left on the Carol Burnett Show was the old man character.
In 8 years, she was pregnant for 54 months. 54 months.
That's a side of Tim Conway I didn't really think of.
Oh, man. What a stud, huh? All right, folks, how do you get these kids to stop fighting, man? Let's talk to us, Sarah in Riverside on line 5. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
I love your guys' show. Danny, I love your show.
Thank you.
And I was actually going to tell you guys about how when the daughter has the father as, like, the disciplinarian,
right,
they go nuts when they get out of the house. I'm 17, and I cannot wait to get the hell out of here.
Uh-oh.
Because... my dad's super religious and everything like that, and I'm just crazy. I want to get out.
When do you turn 18?
I turn 18 in September.
Oh, okay. Well, you got another year left.
Yeah, but I'm just going to mark it down on my calendar, man, because she's telling me right now she plans to go nuts. I'm just going to mark the birthday
down. I'm heading to Hollywood.
Oh, well, look at that. You'll run into
it. Yeah, I want to be a musician, so, you know.
Well, Danny, you know, I don't know if you know this, but one of the great managers in the music business is Danny Bonaducci.
That is very true.
Yes.
Good information.
Yeah. And you just signed a deal with one of the big labels, and they've given you $6 million to sign new artists?
Yeah, no, that's totally true. I have a $6 million budget, but I do have to split it between more than one artist. So the top you're probably going to get is $750,000 to $1.25 million. That's the best I can do.
Oh,
but we'll discuss it after your birthday.
Hey, Sarah, what does your dad do? Does he yell at you every day?
Oh, lectures all the time. I didn't take the garbage out or whatever. And,
right.
You know.
Do you have any kids? Any brothers, sisters?
I have a sister. She's 4 years old. Huge gap.
Two different moms?
No, same mom.
Same mom?
Yeah.
You waited 13 years to have another one?
My dad's my stepdad.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, yeah. Boy. That's even worse when you bring in, like, the stepmother or the stepfather, and they have to do the discipline, discipline these kids. I don't know how they do that, man. That's really a tough act. Because you know, they want to be liked, especially a stepfather wants to be liked by the kids, and yet he does not get to sit there and tolerate these kids yelling all day.
See, I have really no, when it comes to character, I have some in some areas, and in the areas that I don't, I freely admit to.
Which are what?
Which are, I buy my children's affection.
I do the same.
Absolutely, dude. Hey, you're fighting really hard. You want a new Game Boy? Messed up? Here's $100. There's a Virgin Records right there. Go nuts.
I do the exact same thing. I don't know what the long-term, the long-term effects of that are.
Poverty. The long-term effects of buying your kids affection is poverty.
I know. I do the same thing. I go through Walmart. My daughter will say, can I get a new Dora DVD? And my wife says, you're not going to get one until you go, use the potty. And I said, and then as soon as she leaves to go off and get something else, I buy my daughter the DVD.
So, yeah, immediately.
It's going to be
absolutely.
All right, Sarah, thanks for calling, and congratulations. You got 1 year left in prison. All right, let's talk to, how about Daniel and Chino on line one? You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, how do you get these kids to stop fighting?
You know what, and I'm going to be from the perspective of when I was raised, when I was an out-of-control kid, and the one thing that my parents did was they always showed us love, but they always showed us follow-through and consequences. And so when we were told we were going to get hit for doing something, they followed through, so we knew that there was a consequence. A lot of people that I talk to that have problems is that they issue these consequences to their kid, but there's no follow-through. And so the kids think that they're just bluffing. So I remember a time when your kids get older, hitting them doesn't serve a purpose anymore because at 13, 11, what they hit, you just deal with it and take it. But I remember back when, before cell phones, that's how I guess you can tell how old I am, we were fighting over the phone. They ripped out the phone and they took it with them. So they said, that's what you're fighting about, it's gone. We talked about the TV, they canceled the cable. I mean, it got back to one point where they were threatening to turn off the lights.
You know, Daniel, I'll tell you, Daniel. I am so guilty of what you just said, of no follow-through. I remember growing up, and I don't, like I said, I have never even spanked either of my kids. And neither have my brothers, and my sister never had children, because we grew up in a house full of fear. And we turned out to be pretty good parents. I'm probably the worst, because my brother John can dole out discipline and stand by it, but in a very adult way. I just say, here's some more money, kid, be quiet.
Here's the thing.
The no follow through is the thing.
We were Mexican, so that's like ingrained in our culture. I mean, you just said it. But here's the thing is that...
Well, when you say you were Mexican...
I told you.
Yeah, what are you now?
Well, no, we're still Mexican, but here's the thing is that life will auto-correct what they don't learn at home. Life will auto-correct the lessons so they don't learn at home. So if your kids aren't taught that there are consequences to actions at home, they will learn, life will teach them that lesson, and life is very unforgiving. So I know it's sometimes very difficult and hard to say, hey, I got to hit, I got to, take off the door, take out the TV, do whatever, but in the end, they're going to be pissed off, they're going to be angry, they may say, I hate you, and yell at you, and cuss at you, and that's fine, they're dealing with that, but, they're rebelling, they're testing boundaries, they're saying, how far can I push dad, how far can I push mom to get what I want with it, and you can't let up. You see, this is a consequence, you
but
follow
it's so
through
tough
with
to
it,
do.
And they're 19, 20, 25, they can go and run for president of the United States.
Dude, are you some sort of psychologist or something?
No, I was just a horrible kid.
No, because I'm telling you, your questions
turned out pretty okay.
Are really good, though, because as growing up, when I left, my mother and father got divorced, I had the dough. My mom didn't have a job. I had the dough because I was on the Partridge Family. It wasn't a lot of dough, but it was the only dough we had. And I remember one time my mom said, we were in this little rented house, and she said, go to your room right now. And I looked her square in the face at 12 years old, and I said, they're all my rooms.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, and sure enough, you've probably read in the Inquirer, I've paid the consequences of not paying the consequences in my youth.
Right.
I found out that life pays you back in my adult life.
Yeah,
you're really on the money there, kid.
All right. Thank you for calling, Daniel. Let's talk to, how about Nancy in Alhambra? You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, you guys.
All right. How do you get these kids to stop fighting, these brothers
well,
and sisters?
Well, I'll tell you. I've got two stories. One, I only have one daughter. She's the same age as your daughter, Danny.
13.
And she was here visiting and was supposed to spend the summer with me. And her dad was also here, and he took her for the night and didn't bring her back. And I had to pick her up at the police station because he didn't want to bring her back to me, and she got real sassy with me.
Uh-oh.
And was like, well, you know, you don't love me. You just buy me things, which is obviously words out of her dad's mouth.
Yeah, I'm down.
And so I just drove. The police officer straightened everything out because I had her plane ticket with me to prove that she was with me. And he told her, you listen to your mom. Don't sass her. Don't try to get out of the car. Don't try anything crazy. I drove her straight to the airport, and she didn't think I'd do it. I told the lady at the counter, I don't care if I got to empty my bank account. She needs to leave tonight. And I shipped her off to the grandma, not to Nebraska, but I shipped her off to Puerto Rico with grandma.
Oh, Jesus. How long was she there for?
She stayed for a couple of months.
Wow, so you, as punishment, you took her to a gorgeous island with excellent food.
Yeah,
could you get mad at me, please? Because I haven't been to Jamaica in a while.
Yeah, were the flights to Hawaii booked?
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough night out.
Yeah, but she was
to come over and bust up your furniture because I haven't been to Maui in a while.
Well, and then I myself am one of 15 kids. And
how did she turn out, the one that went to Puerto Rico?
She's fine. You know what? She doesn't disrespect me at all now. She's
good.
Very well behaved. She'll be 15 on Saturday.
Good for you.
And she doesn't step out of line at all, and I got her trained with money, too, like an allowance. And if she gets lippy or sassy, I'd say 50 cents. And she says, no, Mom, please, I love you too much. Not my 50 cents.
Oh, that's excellent. All right, Nancy, thank you for calling, baby.
See, Nancy, all right, there Nancy she has goes. More problems than she realizes.
Yeah.
Well, she's not saying not my 50 cents. She's
right.
saying not my 50 cent. She's only 7 years old. She's dating 50 Cent, the rapper, who's been shot 9 times. You have problems at home you're not even aware of, lady.
All right. You never know. Raising these kids, you really don't. It's a crapshoot. No matter how great you are to the kids, no matter how much time you spend with the kids, they can turn out to be complete devils. If you ignore them your entire life or beat them your entire life, they turn out to be great angels.
Yeah, so, but yeah. One's good cardiovascular exercise.
Right, exactly.
You know, you try chasing around a 7-year-old to beat them, you're going to get some cardio action.
Let's talk to, Richard in South Central on line 5. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
All right. How do you get these kids to stop fighting?
Oh, my dad went the whole other way with it. We all got boxing gloves and we took out high guns.
Wait,
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that, please?
We all got boxing gloves and he just turned us loose in the front yard.
That's a great idea. That's what I'm going to start doing. All right, Richard, thanks for calling.
And if we popped off to dad, he put the gloves on himself.
He knocked your ass out. You know, my father, I am convinced that he can still kick my ass.
Really?
Yeah.
And your dad's in his
70s?
He'll
be 75 in December, but he was a boxer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he boxed in high school and college and in the Army. And I've never seen him hit anybody, but I've seen him hit a bag before, a speed bag, when I was younger, and he knows how to punch.
My boxing coach this is years and years ago for Celebrity Boxing on Fox, where I had the embarrassing occasion to fight Greg Brady.
Right.
And people say celebrity boxing, and it's both a misnomer. Neither of us are celebrities, and neither of us are boxers. But I still ended up making some dough.
Right.
But my trainer was a 72-year-old Russian cat in really good physical condition. I mean, he still looked like an athlete,
right.
But he was 72, and he smoked. And when he'd do the mitts and stuff, that was fine. But when he'd do it where I was supposed to try and hit him and then hit a mitt or something like that, I could not catch that man. And he was 72.
Is that right?
And that's where, like, your father, if you think he could still kick your ass,
right.
might be able to. Not because he is such a strong man at 75, but because once you're that good, you'll probably never tag him. And right. after five or six good hits from a 75-year-old man, you're going to go, hey, that's two hits from a 35-year-old man. It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. Let's talk to Michael in Venice on line six. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, yo, Mr. Conway. What a pleasure again. Hey. But because now it's a different subject, I'm the oldest of our seven kids. And five of them were, like, you know, guys that like to do everything that everybody do. I was 15 years old. My mom and my dad was, out partying. My dad's a mariachi player. And they let me babysitting. So what I would do, the oldest one, I would tie him to the big sofa, tie him from the leg to right there, you know. Then the other one, tie him to the love seat. The other one, tie him to there. And then give him, bring them their cereals and everything that they want. And you know, turn on the TV, put like some Flintstones or Lucy or whatever, you know. And they'd be happy, but... Man, 5 minutes before my mom and my dad were arriving, they start crying. Oh, he beat me up. And so I start untying them and everything and treating them good and everything. And it's like, you know, back then, it don't matter. Just like, you know, just it don't matter. A spanking a little bit, yeah. Hit on the head, whatever.
I know. Michael, we thank you for calling.
I'm going to ask you something. Is that man a genius or insane?
I don't know. It is borderline insanity.
Yeah, and he brought them the Captain Crunch.
Yeah, no, you know? Listen. Yeah, you little tie him up.
Little duct tape around the ankles, but a bowl of Captain Crunch. I think it's a wash.
Yeah, and again, before I had a daughter, and before, you know, I've seen my friends with kids, and somebody had tied a kid up for 3 days to their bed and would bring them meals and stuff. You think that parent is crazy,
right,
and that
sure.
parent needs to be in jail. But once you have kids, you start asking, well, what did the kid do?
Right.
You know, there's always another side to the story.
At the question of tying a kid to a bed for 3 days, there is no answer that will do. What I'd like to do is tie them to the neighbor's bed for just one day and get them out of the house so they'll stop fighting. Because this subject is hitting... Every parent with children under, say, 12 and more than one child,
oh, yeah.
every single one of them is reacting, whether they're calling or not, and we have lots of phone calls. This hits home.
And you know what? When you have kids that are 12 years old in Southern California, it's like having a 20-year-old if you live in the Midwest.
Absolutely true.
And because these kids grow up very, very fast out here, unfortunately. I don't know what it is about the Southern California, but they really do move along pretty quickly. And so when you have a 13, 14-year-old kid, that's an adult. And especially if you have a son in your house, it's like having a roommate.
Right. That's totally true.
And they bring their friends over, and they each had a house and home. I mean, it's I really thank God I didn't have a son, because, again, when that son turns 15, you're living with him and his friends, and you can't scold him anymore. He's probably big enough where he can kick your ass, and it's a nightmare.
Right. And you still, though, the lucky thing is you still control the purse strings, and the purse strings are surprisingly powerful.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk to Maria in Commerce on line one. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. I called to agree with the previous caller. It's all about follow through. You know, when
right.
I had my kids fighting in the car, which I can't stand when I see kids, like, not buckled in or messing around, they were smaller. They were fighting over a toy. I said, give me the toy. I grabbed it, and I safely threw it out the window. That stopped them real quick.
Well, I'll tell you, children fighting, though, now that I think about it, has spawned an industry.
Yeah,
do you think that there are television screens in the back of your headrests because they expect adults to sit in your car and want to watch movies till you get to your destination?
Right.
No, it's to keep your children from fighting.
Yeah.
That's why that was invented. There's a whole industry out there of things to distract your children just for their incredible distaste for one another. And the DVD player in the back of your head seat is one of them.
Absolutely. I never thought about it that way. I have a DVD player in the car, in one of our cars, and the moment I turn it on, we'd drive to Oregon. It's 1,000 miles door to door, and we'd turn that thing on, and she'd be quiet for 2 days
yep.
during the drive.
Absolutely.
But without that, it would be screaming, crying, you know, yelling, I want this, I want that. But you turn that set on, man, it's a lifesaver.
PlayStations at home, thing to fight over. Portable PlayStations that each one can have, things to be very quiet about. It has spawned
unplug
an
it.
Industry.
I unplug it. I put it away.
Good for you.
Take the stuff to work and say, good luck, have a nice day, be bored.
All right, Maria, thank you for calling. You know what? Sirius and XM are doing a very smart thing, and I believe it came out about 2 months ago. But they have...
It's not their stock.
No, it's not their stock. At 48 cents today.
Are you serious?
Stock closed today, I believe, at 48 cents. but they have... They have three channels. I think it's the Disney Channel. I think it's Nickelodeon and Nick Jr. But now you can they broadcast those three stations, the television, into your car on the video player.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
You're watching live television now. And eventually, I think it's going to be live TV in the car where you can watch football or basketball. But I guess you can't do it in the front seat if you're driving.
Well, now I'm in a different situation. I've got a seven-year-old who would want to watch... some kind of like the Japanese anime.
Right.
I've got a 13-year-old who's into spooky movies, and my girlfriend's 26, so who the hell knows what she's going to watch. But they all sit in the back seat together, and I drive around like dad. It's kind of disgusting. Really.
It's like having another daughter sometimes, opposed to a girlfriend.
I actually introduced her as my eldest one time as a joke, and she freaked out.
All right, Danny Bonaducci is with us, everybody.
And, of course, Tim Conway Jr., let me be here. Thank you.
Yes, we're live at Not Scary Farm. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk, joined by Danny Bonaducci.
Right.
Yes. All right, we have three people here who put on a terrific show at Knott's Scary Farm. Of course, we talked to Ivana last year. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
And joined by Stephen here and Todd. Nice to see you, fellas.
How you doing?
Hi there.
All right. So tell us about the big show. What
you
doing?
You know what? This year, I got to come back with my live show. Last year, I kind of came and kind of introduced this big buffet dinner thing going on.
Right.
But they invited me back this year for a live show.
Oh,
so my
excellent.
Live show, yeah, it was awesome. I'm like, you know, this ghoul's getting around. So that's cool.
That's a good-looking ghoul, too.
Thanks. Thank you, Danny.
When Tim said, nice to see you, fellas, I thought he was still watching. To her.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm speechless. Not breastless. Speechless.
Yeah, Danny has that way.
He does. So anyway, I got to come back this year and do a live show every Wednesday night for the month of October. And each week I have celebrity guests. This week I have Todd Tucker from Drac Studios. They did, they've done some Van Helsing. They've got the Oscar for Bram Stoker's Dracula. They did Mrs. Doubtfire, on and on and on. And we're promoting a movie tonight called Trailer Park of Terror, and we've got the director with us here.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I get to sing in my live show, so that's really cool, too.
And is that movie open this weekend?
It actually is. It's played in New York, and it's showing tomorrow here in L.A., but it comes out on DVD on October 21st for Halloween.
Just
and
time.
It's Trailer Park Terror?
Trailer Park of Terror, or... It should be Trailer Park of Terror.
I was just thinking it should star Tonya Harding, and then everybody would just get what it was about.
For sure.
Well, someone like her stars in the movie. And there's a lot of beating, lots of.
Yeah, it's a great area for a movie. I don't think anyone's ever done a horror film in a trailer park, or that takes place in a trailer park.
It does. We built a trailer park, actually, in the Santa Clarita area, though it plays for this area called the Trucker's Triangle that we created. It's sort of Kentucky... Georgia, Tennessee, that area. So it's pretty redneck.
And you're doing how many shows on Wednesday?
I do two shows, one at 9 and one at 10:30 every Wednesday night in the park here at Knott's Scary Farm.
And where in the park do you do it?
I do it at the Boardwalk Ballroom, right where you guys
are, right behind us.
Right behind us,
yeah.
See, I planned it that way because I knew you were going to be here.
Yes, Yvonne at 9 and at 10:30. And when you do the show, tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so I've got some dancers from Vegas. That's all I'm going to say.
Whoa.
I've got some dancers from Vegas. Two guys, two girls, unbelievable. You know, they're ghouls like me. And we do a little song, a little dance. I do a version, my own version of I Kissed a Ghoul. You know, yeah, you know, it's one thing to kiss a girl, and it's one thing to kiss a guy. But to kiss a ghoul, that's what I'm talking about. Right? So, yeah.
Serious commitment, yeah.
That is. So, you know, I was
married for 18 years. I am very used to kissing a ghoul.
I know, Danny.
After year 10, you got to check and make sure there's a pulse.
Yeah, I'm going on 199.
Yikes.
We're just going to keep it that way, yeah.
I was dating a girl who, she said that we've been together in past lives. That when our first life we had together, I wasn't into her. The second life, she wasn't into me. And the third life, we're into each other. And I wasn't into that whole run, you know, because I don't believe in a lot of that
stuff. Right.
So I went to a priest to get a restraining order, and now she has to stay 300 years away from me.
See, that could have gone a lot of ways for me. I wasn't into her. She wasn't into me. I was like, ah.
Yeah, a little crazy.
Yes.
All right. Now, the movie, what's the website for the movie?
No, you, sir. Trailerparkofterror.com.
Yeah. Trailerparkofterror.com.
Okay, who did what on Van Helsing?
We did all the creature makeup effects.
Dude, can I tell you, that's so rocked. That was one of the first really scary movies I took my daughter to.
Nice.
And it was, we were both completely satisfied. I thought, I'll take my kid to see this movie that will scare her and I'll sit through it. That totally rocked. Even when it comes on cable right now, I watch it again. That was a great movie.
Thank you.
You know, that movie came up when we were talking a couple weeks ago about what you, what movies you see when you're smoking weed. And that movie came up. That's a whole new experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When you're on the weed. As opposed to
It probably couldn't hurt.
But see, I get so scared at those movies anyway that I don't need any enhancement.
Yeah.
But I'd flip out, you know, if I was on anything.
We have a drug-fueled death, actually. We have a young girl in the movie who gets trashed on marijuana and then crack and then loses a limb on the probably one of the wildest trips she's ever been on.
Excellent. All right, so it comes out on DVD on the 21st.
Yes.
All right, thanks for Ivana for coming by. Also, Steve and Goldman and Todd Tucker, thanks for coming by, fellas. Come down and see Ivana's show every Wednesday, 9 o'clock and 10:30.
Yeah, and can I say check IvanaCadaver.tv for all the listings across the country this show's on?
And who are you having on next Wednesday here?
Next Wednesday I've got Michael Rooker. Remember Michael Rooker from Henry of a Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Yeah.
Right, Rooker. He's done a lot of stuff.
Oh,
so Michael's going to be out here. He's also was in Slither, James Gunn Slither, and just loads of stuff. So he'll be out here next week. And
perfect.
We got lots of stuff. We got Marco Khan from 10,000 BC coming
and it's
out.
All included in the price, gang, when you pay to get in here to Not Scary Farm.
That's right.
Thanks for coming by, the
Thank
three of you.
You.
All right, good luck with the movie comes out October 21st. All right, Danny Bonaduce is with us, folks. We're going to take a small break and come back with more a live broadcast here from Not Scary Farm. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show with Danny Bonaduce. We're live on 97.1 FM Talk.
FM Talk.